When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom. Like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
I can't stop thinking about George Harrison.
Well, I know you can't. You can never stop thinking about George Harrison, Cliff.
But it's can so, you? I think he's the most complex. It's the most complex part of the entire puzzle, I think.
But the thing that I was thinking of is, we'll have this snapshot. It's a long documentary, but it's only a snapshot of that particular time. You haven't seen what's gone on over the previous sort of 8 years, do you know what I mean, with the Beatles and stuff like that, and how they've alienated George and stuff like that, and how there's a part where Lennon and McCartney are right in each other's faces, and apparently that's how they used to write songs, just face to face. Do you know what I mean?
And I don't think those guys have done that for a while at that point.
Exactly, and then they're doing it again, and George is watching it, and he's thinking, I'm having,
I'd never thought about before, which is on this podcast. I'm not going to claim I've come up with this theory. But when George walks out, it's the day when Paul and John have been singing Two of Us for about 9 hours. And he's being told what to play on guitar while those guys stand face to face, sort of about how the there's two of us, not, and this guy's not part of
it. Yeah. Well, of course that would go in. But the other thing as well is that there's also a lot of pandering to George, not necessarily in the studio. There's the Indian thing, which I don't think they were massively. George,
I absolutely agree.
There was the touring thing, which was all George, wasn't it?
Yeah, stopping touring and stuff. I want to do Indian songs.
It's like a mixed bag of all this stuff. It's a massive, complicated thing.
It is
that
really
podcast that I was talking about is called Something About the Beatles.
Okay,
by the
cool.
way.
I'll listen to that. I think, I just think like there is a lot of George going, oh, I'm always the last one. But his ideas were like mental compared to those. Like, let's just have Indian music. And of course, they're not going to be like, okay, well, we'll have 8 of your songs on the album then. Which are all just sit ours. Like, of course, they're not going to do that. They're a rock and roll band.
George has got a quota on every album, hasn't he? He's got a certain amount of songs that he's got on each album. And that's how it was worked out. It was always like that. So Lennon, McCartney have got, you know, Lennon's got 4, McCartney's got 4, George has got 2. And then we've got a Ringo one, haven't we?
Yeah.
That's the quota of the songs.
I just think one of the things that I've been thinking about, which I haven't heard discussed on anything else, is how many takes the George songs went through, all of them. And a lot of them, I didn't end up making it. So they did a lot of attempts to do All Things Must Pass, didn't make it on album. They did a lot of hundreds and hundreds of attempts, or not hundreds, but about 80 attempts at Not Guilty, didn't make it on album. They're doing I Me Mine for a couple of days here, but actually they have to come back in a year's time and actually record that. None of these work. And you're like, I've been trying to think about like why that is. And he's coming in and he's like, you don't like me songs. Like, well, why don't you just fucking convince them that they're good then? But you also
because
you've been edged out for a while.
Yeah, but that's the thing.
It's like a self-fulfilling thing, isn't it? It's a self-fulfilling prophecy that the songs don't make it, or when they try and record them, they're not that good. He says, I don't want to play any of them live because they end up shit. Like, well, why don't you try and make them good then?
But there's also the McCartney thing of, with I listened to another one, it's two Canadian guys, and one of the guys is like a scholar of the Beatles. This one's called Completely Beatles, really good. It runs through all the different albums and stuff like that. And he talks about how Paul McCartney would go for hours, as we've seen with Get Back, on his own songs, mm-hmm. and not necessarily put that effort into other people's.
Yeah, yeah. Of course.
So he'd be on his, I mean, that's the kind of guy that McCartney was, isn't he? Do you know what I mean?
Well, that's
so
the thing. If you read
that
it,
kind of thing
George.
Where George is good, well, he's just, Paul McCartney's just going to, you know, when it gets to my beat, he's going to rush through it and stuff like that.
Well, he says there's an interview with him from years later going, you know, we'd have to do 10 of Paul's and then we'd have a go of mine.
Yeah.
And I guess for his point of view, he'd be like, oh, what, at the end of all of that, now I'm the afterthought. I mean, McCartney, they could do his first and then do 10 of McCartney. You know what I mean? They could do it that way around. There's no reason why his is last. If he's only getting one, do it. But I don't know. It's like,
it's what makes them fascinating, though, isn't it?
Honestly,
the more
I think about it, it's such a fascinating, just a look at this relationship and how humans work together and all of this. Like, all of them.
And it's not just like a relationship between Paul and John, it's all of them, isn't it? And that's what makes them great, isn't it? Like, if somebody said to me now, or, you know, who's your favorite Beatle? I just love them all. Now,
I think the thing
when
is
I was a
this,
kid,
when you think
when
about
I was
it,
a kid, it was like, oh, John Lennon, he's my favorite. But as you get older, it's just all of them, isn't it?
I think as you get older, John Lennon's harder to hold in.
No, I still love him, man. I still love the man. I think he's class. But that's the thing. The Beatles are the Beatles. There's no Paul. It's not just Paul, or it's not just John, or it's not just Ringo.
One of the things that forced this apart, right? Because these conversations, and when they went to Ringo's house to talk with George about getting him back in, McCartney's going, we just need the four Beatles to talk about this. And Lennon's going, there's no four Beatles. We're all Beatles. I'm the Beatles. You're the Beatles. Yoko's the Beatles. Like, we can be any combination of us.
Sure is now.
Well, that's the thing, right? So he's going, there could be any combination of us. And McCartney, if you listen to what he's saying and the stuff in Let It Be, in Get Back, and if you read the book with the extra things and any of the tapes that you can listen to and stuff like that, at this point in time, he's going, let's just get the four of us in a room. Let's just get the four of us to talk about it. And Lennon's going, what the fuck's this four of us shit? It's anyone. If I leave, there's someone else. If Ringo leaves, we'll get someone else. It's still the Beatles. And I think he's disingenuous.
But that was never the case, was it?
No, it's not the case, but that's what he thinks at that point.
Yeah, but that's because he's become disconnected from it all, which so has George, hasn't he? I mean,
yeah,
wouldn't he want to leave, do you know what I mean, after Revolver and stuff, didn't he?
George would rather be playing with other people at this point. But another fascinating thing about George is he's mates with Bob Dylan is his mate. Bob Dylan's a mate with him because he sees him as a peer and loves him and thinks he's a great songwriter and works with him on and off over the next 30 years or whatever. So he's got that appreciation from the greatest songwriter of all time. Yet he comes into a room with those guys and he's...
Yeah, but Lennon McCartney are the greatest songwriters of all time.
Of course, but they're also the greatest songwriters of all time. But he comes into a room with those guys and they're like, shut up, we're doing our stuff first. And he doesn't say, well, fuck you guys. I was just with Bob Dylan and he thought this song was fucking brilliant. He goes, oh, yeah, I'll play your shit then. And then he just seethes about it. He keeps it inside, right? He doesn't.
Yeah, but he's had so much of an effect on what the Beatles have done and what they haven't done over that period. Like I said, with not touring and with the Indian thing, that it's so odd that he doesn't stick up for his own songs.
Exactly. I think it's such a weird, like, dichotomy over.
It's not like they don't listen to him about other stuff. Do you know what I mean?
That's why they don't listen to him, because he only says it half-heartedly. You know what I mean?
I don't know, because they have listened to him, haven't they?
Yeah, but at this point...
He didn't want a tour. They don't want a tour. Like, he wanted to go to India. They all go to India. Even though Ringo friggin' definitely didn't want to go to India, did he? Do you know what I mean?
So they have done these things. Almost like... talking himself out of the decisions at this point. He's good.
If he pushed it,
you don't need to listen to my songs, whatever.
Yeah, he even says that I don't give a fuck if you don't like the song and all this kind of stuff.
This is why it's I love George, but he's such a complicated character.
Do you know what I mean? Luke said as well, we said, why didn't he push them? Why didn't he push those songs? He could have done.
I think he knows he's going to do what he says. I'll just do my own album. So I think he's projecting this. I'm really hard done by. But at the same time, he's like, but I'm going to do my own stuff anyway. So I think he's like, I don't think he's doing it in a fake way, but I think he doesn't know what he wants.
It depends. We've only got this snapshot of this one album. We've got a couple of weeks of the Beatles. We haven't got the whole 10 years of what's gone on. Do you know what I mean? If you did, you would know a lot more.
But I also
relationships
think
are complicated, right? Aren't they? Yeah. Do you know what I mean?
Of course.
People sometimes people say what's on their mind. Sometimes they won't. It depends what mood they're in or whatever.
Yeah, no, that's just. I don't think these guys did a lot.
What? Say what was on their mind?
No, I don't think so. They'll go and write a song about it or fucking tell their wives. And then come back in the next day and pretend everything's all right.
But then they've also got this business. They've got Apple now. They've lost their manager.
That's the problem, I think. I think that's more than Yoko, more than George only having one or two songs.
It's definitely Apple that fucked them up, isn't it?
Definitely. It's not Yoko. It's not George only having a song or two. It's Apple. It's the business side of it. They should have had nothing to do with that. But I see why they wanted to and why they did it. But that was the thing.
We didn't talk a lot about Magic Alex either, which was I want to talk about him because he's an absolute job, isn't he? He's a con man. He's a con man. So he wanted John Lennon's engine out of his Rolls Royce and the engine out of George's Ferrari to make a UFO.
and that ties back in with... The Vast of Night.
Exactly.
We've given away there the end.
And he was head of like the electronics division or whatever.
You can't make anything. You can see why. I've listened to a few things, and especially when you talk, the musicians are talking about it. And I thought this when I was watching it, but we didn't really talk about it. Why is their equipment so shit? Like, no wonder.
Because Magic Alex is doing it.
But he's the guy going, I can make this better. And they're going, yes, please. Like, because the need.
Why did they trust him though? Why did
because
they?
Because I don't know why. Because
do you think it's the drugs? Do you think it's the drugs?
No, I think.
Do you think that's what it is?
I think for whatever reason, it's in the film, right? Like, George is.
There's that guitar that he's designed, and it's a bass guitar on the back, and it's a guitar on the front or whatever, isn't it? And you've got to switch it around.
No, but I mean,
and George goes. Yeah, and George goes, well. The strings of the other side of the guitar digging here. And they're all laughing, pissing themselves laughing about how ridiculous this invention is. But he is the head of... He's installed that equipment at the same time. They know how ridiculous.
It doesn't work. None of it works. But what I'm saying is he's got away with it and they latched onto him because... They've got an amp that they were using in fucking 1959 or whatever, and they're still trying to use the same thing.
Yeah.
And they're like, this doesn't work anymore. And John's going, yeah, but Alex has said that he can make something out of fucking soil and it'll be the best thing I've ever heard. And they're going, yeah, amazing, because the alternative is the same thing we've been using since the cavern. Why are they still using that stuff?
Yeah.
You've got bands like Cream the year before and all of this stuff. No wonder they're talking about this stuff a lot, and Jimi Hendrix, stuff like that. We've got big Marshall amps and all this stuff. They're talking about you can only have a 4-track. And you go, well, I know for a fact that the Beatles have got an 8-track. And that bit where George goes, hang on, our success funds EMI. Why are we the ones that don't get anything good? Like, we're the ones.
Well, it was George's 8-track or whatever, wasn't it?
Yeah, they bring it in. He brings it in. Mm-hmm. Like, but he's the one going, and it is weird that it is always George talking about the money.
Mm-hmm.
But that's one of George's things, right? But he goes, yeah, you say we can't do this, but actually, we're the Beatles. And EMI is putting out records by fucking whoever because they have money, because we're the biggest band in the world, essentially. Yeah. So why are they getting the good equipment when we're still... Mm-hmm. I think there's still that little band with the same guitars and the same amps and mics. You know, when he's getting electrocuted and all of that shit. It's fascinating watching that stuff. But I think one of the things with George is... Like, you know, like that thing where he's pierced outside of the Beatles because he's a Beatle. Absolutely revere him. But when he steps back in the room with those guys, he's the third most important man in the room. And it must be weird for him. Paul and John don't need that from anyone else, and they don't try and get that from anyone else. Neither of them wanted to work with anyone, especially McCartney, for the rest of their career. George is happy to, I'll jam with these guys. I'll be in the Wilburys in 30 years' time and all of that stuff. He always was more inclined to that kind of thing, I think. And even at this point he is. And that's because he's not the main guy in this band, right? Of course, it's easier for him to do that. I just think... I just think it's easy. He is the most fascinating character out of this thing, I think.
It's more of a collective thing. It's all of them. I just love them all. Do you know what I mean? And I keep going back to it, but it's this snapshot of just this album. You know, all the stuff that's happened before that and for a couple of months afterwards and stuff like that. You don't really, I mean, obviously I've listened to a lot of podcasts and stuff like that, and I've read stuff, so I've got a little bit more knowledge. So if anything, this sort of documentary, it's got me to look into things a little bit deeper, I think.
Yeah, of course. And I think one of the things is it puts into perspective how quickly they work. Like I think I said in the pod when we were recording, this seems procrastinating by the Beatles standards, because they take 21 days to do this. But that's 21 days to write, record, and film an entire album and show.
Yeah.
Which no one else would do, right? Like, they've come in going, we don't have anything. And also, the White Album came out 7 weeks before this started.
Mm-hmm. Well, the idea was that they just play the White Album live. 4 weeks
before this album started. Like
it's insane.
That's one of the other things, and what I wanted to say to agree with you about how they do make concessions to George, even if he doesn't think they do. I think this entire album, as much as McCartney wants to do, get back to the rock and roll stuff. Actually, when they start doing it, is a George concession, because he's the one who wants to sound like the band. He's the one that wants to do Delaney and Bonnie and do this rootsy kind of stuff, and everyone chip in and let's bring somebody in and play this part, and I'll just play this part and all of that. He's the one that actually wants to push that kind of music.
Mm-hmm.
And that doesn't really get discussed, I think, in it or after it. But I think he's the guy who wants it to be that. He's going, and actually when it starts, he's going, have you listened to this? And he's playing Dylan songs. And he's playing this song. And he's the one going, he's pushing it the first couple of days. Like, George, and then he gradually withdraws when he thinks he's not being listened to.
Uh-huh. Uh-huh.
And then he realizes they're just going to do their own songs, and he goes, "Well, I've got these songs." But I think.
But then he's back at it, isn't he?
Yeah.
When he comes back, it's almost like it's a moral victory for him when he quits, and he realizes that they do actually. Although the first meeting doesn't go well because John gets Yoko to speak for him, type thing. After that, after they go and see him again, it's like a moral victory for him, isn't it?
Must be shit for him.
They do want us back
because
I am wanted, type thing.
He leaves on a Friday and goes, see you around the clubs, whatever.
Yeah.
And on the Saturday morning, John and Yoko turn up at his house. So he hasn't even had 24 hours to think about what he's doing. They turn up at his house and talk to him about something.
Uh-huh.
I don't think there's any record of what they talk about. But in his diary, he says, they turn up and divert me from breakfast. Diverted me a little bit, like, you know, the lyrics are in there, right? They diverted me from breakfast. And then on the Sunday, they go to Ringo's house to have the meeting, which Ringo says, oh, didn't go well. So he hasn't, of course, it hasn't gone well. He hasn't even had a chance to think about what he's doing. He leaves and instantly he's in a meeting. And then the next day, he's in a meeting. Like, well, of course, he hasn't. It obviously works out all right. But, you know, like, he left to have a bit of time and they didn't give him that bit of time. But but I genuinely think that this style of music, as much as Paul's pushing it, John isn't pushing it, Ringo goes along with it.
Yeah.
Paul wants to go, let's play our old rock and roll songs. Let's do One After 909, etc. Let's get an ad vibe. And I think that is kind of in harmony with what George wants. I know, like, I don't think it sounds like the band at all. And I think it sounds rootsy.
But it's the Beatles. It sounds like the Beatles.
The Beatles, whatever they start like out by else. Being influenced by, they make their own thing out of it.
Yeah, exactly. But
actually, what I think, in my opinion, it has more in connection with is Creedence Clearwater Revival.
Which do you think?
Not entirely, but
yeah,
you know, some of that guitar sounds the dinga 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 dinga.
Yeah.
Soulful vocal.
I've gone back and I've listened to the old stuff, and there's been stuff on Beatles for Sale, and I sent you one, didn't I? And I thought this. I must have heard this song
with the Beatles the other day as well. Like,
yeah, must have heard this song about 1,000 times, but it's like I'm listening to a brand new song. That is the brilliance of the Beatles, I think, that you can find little nuggets of brilliance. Do you know what I mean? Even though you've probably heard it 1,000 times, you go back and listen to something, and it's, you know, the only thing I've listened to. It's every little thing, isn't it? That's what I sent you.
Yeah.
Which has just been absolutely amazing.
And great. So, George plays that, doesn't he, in the Get Back film?
I think he suggests it. I think he says when they're talking about, let's do some of the old stuff.
The golden oldies. George says,
the golden oldies. Let's do that.
I think he plays it a bit. I think so.
Does he? Again, I mean, it's a long program, right? I'll definitely watch it again.
Peter Jackson has done a masterful editing job of that film. He's made it into a story over that 8 hours. He's edited it, who knows the stuff that he's put in and hasn't put in, and the way he's cut it and stuff
And also, he's talking about, like, you know, is the stuff that you've left out and things like that, do you have, like, a moral job to not ruin the Beatles or whatever? And he was, because that's what I was thinking of as I was watching it, is the stuff that he's left out, you know? Because they're talking about the fight and stuff like that with George and John, which is what they're talking about when they're reading that newspaper.
Yeah.
And, you know, he talks about that on this podcast and stuff like that. That as far as he's aware, he asked Olivia, George's wife, there was no fight.
No,
yeah.
There was no fight.
George never mentioned it, or Olivia or whatever. The only thing he mentioned was in Hamburg when George threw food at John or whatever. Classic. So, but it's a difficult undertaking for Jackson, I think, isn't it? To sort of have this information and stuff like that, and what to put in, what not to put in, what to leave out. There's 60 hours of stuff, isn't it? And we've only getting 8. What's in the other stuff?
Yeah, and I also think, Beatles fans will gobble up a 20-hour version. And then,
of course, they will. That's what Luke said, didn't he?
And then a year later, we'll gobble up a 40-hour version. And then a year later, we'll gobble up a 60-hour version. You know, that's what Beatles fans are like. But I do think
the first thing that Luke said on the podcast, that it's too short.
One of the things I think is, this is the most excited I think anybody has been about the Beatles. And we are.
Until 10 years' time, until something else.
I think this is the kind of the holy grail, right? I don't think there's more unreleased footage or anything like that. I think this is...
But there's this technology that Peter Jackson has... There must be stuff that's unusable.
But they filmed a month of the Beatles rehearsal, right? They didn't do that any of that time. So I think this is the only time you get this. But this is...
There'll be more stuff.
Because there's always more stuff. There's a thing the other day, these two songs from the 1963 Decca Party. I don't know if you listen to that.
No.
Where they play two songs from 1963. There's always been these pictures of this Decca after a rehearsal or something.
Oh, yes. Is that where they're auditioning?
They've been signed, and it's like...
Well, I hope we've passed the audition, Cliff.
Anyway, I'll send you it. We'll tweet it. But it's these two songs that they've always been known were recorded or that they happened, and there's been pictures of them playing these songs. It's something like a Christmas party, and the Beatles did two songs at it, but nobody's ever had the music, and then all of a sudden, there they are. So it's mad that there's always this stuff with the Beatles.
There will be stuff.
There's never going to be 50 hours of recording like this is.
Yeah.
But what I think is, what I was trying to say, is that this, since the anthology, this is the most exciting thing.
Definitely.
Amazing thing is that, you know, the whole world is excited about it. Like, this is 25 years since 27 years since the anthology came out. Yet there's still people going, fucking hell, there's more Beatles stuff, and everyone's really excited about it.
Do you know why, though? Why that? It's because they're the greatest band ever, and they're the greatest band that they'll ever be. They'll never end. They're immortal, the Beatles.
Hey everyone, Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
Want your most burning finance and investing questions answered? Here's a podcast you should be listening to, courtesy of Acast Recommends.
Are you ready for some personality in your personal finances? Hi, I'm Janice Torres Rodriguez, Latina money expert and host of the award-winning podcast, Yo Quiero Dinero. On this show, we're serving up POC-friendly personal finance knowledge, always with a side of sass. We're not talking about avocado toast and lattes on this show. We've got real, relatable personal finance knowledge that makes you feel seen, heard, and finally understood. Consider me your super cool, slightly risque, but always honest financial fairy godmother. Together, we'll tackle dinero in a fresh new way so you can finally become poderosa with your dinero. Check out our weekly podcast episodes at YoQuieroDineroPodcast.com or subscribe wherever you listen to podcasts.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.